Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you not worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Today we're going to talk about priorities, about our priorities. And it's attached to worrying, and it's attached to all of that, what's been said. But what I want to say is that the Bible, this scripture can be quoted. And people will say, God helps those who help themselves. This scripture itself is saying, don't worry about that. I got this covered. Right? But people will say that in Proverbs or in Psalms or somewhere, it says, God helps those who help themselves. Has anyone heard that before? Yes, you have. Did you think it was in the Bible? No? Well, that's good. You're all smart. It's a common concept that they think, well, you know, stop asking for handouts. Stop asking for this. Stop. God will help you if you help yourself. Okay, it was common. I'd heard it a lot, not necessarily from my family, but just out and about. God helps those who help themselves. And I'll tell you right now, one out of every eight people, there's a survey done a while ago, one out of every eight people believe that's from the Bible. Because it sounds kind of like a proverb. God helps those who help themselves, right? If you say it really fun, it sounds awesome. And this is kind of a problem for me when one out of every eight, that means there's some people in here that believe it. And that's okay, we're going to adjust it, but it's because we might have been taught that. Or people you know may think this. One out of every eight admit this statement is true, but how many more people live like it? How many more people live like God helps those who help themselves? What does that do? Where is the focus? The focus is on you individually. The focus is on, so if I believe that God will help me if I help myself, it's all introvert. I have to do something. I have to do something. And other people who are struggling will believe that, well, I'm not doing anything, things aren't working out right, so God's not helping me. And that's where this theology of punishment from God comes from. Obviously, I'm doing something wrong because God's not helping me. I'm going through this difficult trial because God's not helping me, right? God helps those who help themselves. So pick it up. Get to it. Well, that's not very loving, and that's kind of a lot different than what I interpret in Scripture. I've had other people say to me, well, you don't believe in science. I'm like, what? Okay, I don't now. So I don't believe in dinosaurs. And now I don't believe in science. Could you please tell me what else I don't believe in? Science? Really? Because I find that a little silly to say that. I've never denied science. But yet, they have it in their head. These little things. You don't believe in science. And it's like, okay, well, science is just, it's just a journey for knowledge, right? That's all it is. And in some scientific realms, there's a lot of theories. There's the Big Bang theory. It's a theory. There's all these theories they have because they don't know the answer. Correct? So if they have these theories in science, why do they take a theory and say that's absolute truth if they can't prove it because it's a theory? Right? We're struggling here. And so they have this other mindset of, well, you don't believe in science. I'm like, well, you don't believe in God. Now what? Now what are we doing? You're saying, we're just arguing in this, called arguing in a circle. And all we're doing is saying what you and nobody's being able to discuss. And so these theories that are there, we have to take them and we have to measure them to what the Bible says, God's character, and also what God's doing in our lives. We have to do the whole thing. And science knows that. Science knows they have to do the same thing. They have to know that they can prove it in a certain way. But yet there are people that will live and die by a theory. And we can't do that. We can't live and die by a theory. We know that Jesus was a man and he was part God because he lived here on earth and he rose again. 5,000 people saw him after. So many people saw him. So we know there's written proof. And just because it was so long ago doesn't mean it didn't happen. Okay? It's like other historic things that have happened that have been written down throughout the history. Yes, you get an angle and a spin on it, but the point is they happened. The world wars all happened. These are things that happened. Your spin on that decides on what side of the war you were on, how it impacted you. Okay, so we have to boil it down to the truth. See, this statement was actually made popular by Benjamin Franklin. He actually quoted it, but it was actually came out of an older, in the 1700s, a farmer's almanac writer. And so it was in there that they made, God helps those who help themselves. But Benjamin Franklin made that popular. And while this wasn't in the Bible, there are variations of it that can be found throughout other religious texts. And the Quran speaks of this. In the Quran, it says, indeed, Allah will not change the conditions of a population until they change what is in themselves. See, we believe that God has the power to change. We can't do it, right? All we have to do is accept, but we can't change. God does that. He empowers us to do that. And so we have other religions that state these types of things. And so in this passage in the Quran, they expect a person to help themselves first by changing their own attitude, their own behavior before God, and then God will come to aid. We believe, come as you are. God will work things out through you. You will never be perfect, but so don't wait for that moment. Just come. God will work through you. Jesus will work through. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. But you don't have to change beforehand. People think that's a thing. They think it's a thing, and it's not. It's not a thing. The Bible says those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools. Is there anyone in this room that knows everything? You may think you do, but you don't. Those who trust in themselves are fools. You see, in our passage of Matthew chapter 6, the most important verse is 33. When Jesus calls for us to seek the kingdom of God first, not ourselves. And if we do, everything else falls into place. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but it falls into place. See, our modern culture idolizes self-sufficiency. Everyone needs to take care of themselves first. Look out for number one. Focus on your needs before anyone else. But God's plan is the exact opposite of that. Everyone who needs, the focus is completely different. The focus is on the kingdom first, and God will take care of your necessities. Think of the kingdom of God and what that entails. And that's following Jesus and living a selfless life because we have that example of Jesus Christ. And so seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will fall into place. If we focus on seeking God, there will be nothing in life we need to worry about. Let's understand that it's about worry, okay? If we put him first, we will not have to worry. Our relationship with him needs to be top priority. And if we're worrying about other things, it's now not top priority. Why? Because you're worrying about it. What are our priorities? What are your priorities? We all prioritize things differently. We do this, again, like I said, because of our upbringing. Your family life was different than someone else's, than the one sitting next to you. It was different. And we try to find people that have similar backgrounds and build relationships with them. We try to do that. We're drawn. And in some cases, we look for people that have completely different priorities in life. Because we want to be like that. We want to improve on our values and of our life. And so we look for those. And so we look for people that, for other people that value what we search for, and we look for those relationships to improve or change our outlook on situations. It's called improving yourself. And nowadays, it's self-improvement. And it's been so focused on self-improvement that it forgets about everyone else. Now, I'm all for positive thinking, and I'm all for being better. I'm always wanting to improve. But what's happened in our society is we've become so introverted, so self-centered, that it's all about me. Everything is me. Why? Because everyone wants to be important and feel valued outside of everyone else. Everyone wants to be successful. They want to make it big. They want to be important, or at the very least, valued. Success magazine had an article a few years ago, and there are three mistakes that people make when they're setting their priorities up. And they said that they don't think about their priorities properly, they make it way too complicated, and they don't live out their priorities. And in many ways, the Success magazine is pretty accurate, but the difference is on what the focus is on. You see, the Christian life is about priorities. If you want a close relationship with God, you have to put Him priority. You want to know what's next in your life and why you are here, you need to adjust your priorities. And so we need to adjust them. Last week, I said, show me where the majority of your time, effort, and money has spent and where it goes, and I will show you what you value the most. If you looked at all this last week after the message at your own life and realized that you have to make some adjustments, this is how we do it. Christians need to set their priorities by thinking about it. You see, we can't worry, but we need to think about it. There's a difference between thinking about something and worrying about something. Worrying keeps you up. Worrying bogs you down. Worrying causes you to not focus. You see, God is saying, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? We all do it. We all worry. But we need to be able to separate worry from thinking about something. Worrying is that we don't know the end result. And that, you know what? We don't always know the end result. We just get used to the way things are. But we don't know the end result. When you drove here today, you don't necessarily know the end result, but you think you're going to get to your destination. You think you're going to get to the church, but there could be detours on the way. And as some have been traveling around Canada, this is the worst weekend to be on the road. I'm going to give you a downer now. This is when all the accidents and deaths happen on the road. It's like a suicide mission to go out on the number one. But we can't worry about that stuff. We just have to be wise and make proper decisions, right? So I don't like to be on the roads as much as possible on this weekend because it's crazy out there. It's wild. People, we're going to do a driving lesson one day here. We're going to have a car up here. We're going to show you. No, I'm kidding. But we can't worry about this. We can't add anything to our life by worrying. Our thoughts should be on God. I got on a plane once and we were heading somewhere, and this lady was all scared or whatever. Michelle, you know, don't worry, he's a pastor, and he has to get to where he needs to go, so you're going to be okay. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're confident. I don't know if it helped her or not, but the thing is, we can't worry about it. We were on a plane once coming from Chicago back home, and there was a problem with the engines and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, where's my Wi-Fi? And there's all these things going on, and I'm like, if we die, we die. That's just the way she goes. Right? I can't stop it. I'm in a flying tube throughout the air. What am I going to be able to do to make this thing land properly or not crash? Anyways, turns out we turned around, went back, landed fine after three or four tries. And we got on another tube and flew back Hopefully this one would work. I couldn't worry about it. We're texting kids, we love you, we hope we make it, I guess. I don't know. It was one of those things. But we can't worry about it. Our thoughts should be on God. So if God is going to, if a plane's taking me down, a plane's taking me down. And that's just the way it's got to be. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. Don't worry about earthly things. We worry about so many things, but our focus should be on God. Are we focusing daily on the important things? The important things of life? The important things of God? Life is more than food and clothing. If God did the greater thing, gave us life, created our bodies, surely he will do the lesser thing and give us food to sustain us and clothes to keep us warm. When I first started out in ministry, we didn't have a lot of money. We weren't getting paid a lot from the church. Just not this church, another church. And there's just things going on. I wasn't making enough money. Sometimes we couldn't even buy food. And food would just show up at the doorstep. And many of you know this story, but if you don't, it would just show up. Car would break down. Somebody would give me the exact amount of money I needed for the part that broke. And they didn't even know. They were just driving down the street and said, I have to give Mark and Michelle this amount of money to buy this part. And they came over. Boom. I went, bought the part, put it in the car. I'm back on the road. Like, things like that. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't telling people, oh, I'm so poor. I can't afford it. I didn't tell. No one would have known. But they helped. And God spoke to them. He takes care of us. And if he's willing to take care of us in the big things, I guarantee you, expect him in the little things. Expect him in the little things. Jesus is not warning against forethought, but against foreboding. He doesn't mean don't work. Jesus uses these birds as an example. Every self-respecting bird works hard for their food and shelter. When we were out in a little bay, and these sea otters were playing with something, and I couldn't see what it was. And out of nowhere, this giant eagle came down and scooped up the crab and took it from them. You don't think they were working hard for that little crab? They wanted to eat that crab. And this crab's going, I'm a dead man now. I can't get away. The eagle scooped it, flew right over top of us, and you could see him waving the crab as it flew over, went up into the nest, and just beat that crab and ate it. That eagle worked hard. Those little sea thingies, those little floaty, whatever, the sea slugs, otters, that's what they look like. You know they do. They were working hard and they lost it. God's going to take care of you. See, sorry, distraction on that one. I find seals very obnoxious and they stare at you. They're just creepy. I don't like them. That's why I love killer whales. They take care of that problem. God is against us worrying because he says, look at these animals. He's going to take care of you. If he takes care of them, he's going to take care of you. So as Christians, we need to set our priorities not by complicating life. We complicate things, man. It says in the scriptures in 28 and on, like, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't spin or labor. Not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like these. So don't worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? We complicate our situations when our focus is not on God and his kingdom. We should be confident when it is, and that he is in control and he is walking us through. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. This does not mean it's all going to go easy. It doesn't mean that there will be times that you're not freaking out. But when our mind is focused on the right priorities, we are able to walk through any personal struggle and issue with God without losing our faith. And that's where we struggle. We lose our faith because of our struggles. And when we hear these statements that are incorrect, God helps those who help themselves, that's setting us up for a fail. Because then we don't ask him for the help. So we complicate things. And thirdly, lastly, we set our priorities by living it out. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. It is the kingdom of God defined by serving others, putting others first, making God and his purpose a priority. Living as if God is our king means being in a relationship with God. And now on earth, the kingdom of God comes into the lives of his people. And when asked by a bunch of teachers of the law, where is this kingdom that you're talking about? Jesus basically said, paraphrasing, you know what? The kingdom is inside of you. The rule and the reign of God begins with you saying yes to God and seeking his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God is a very simple priority, seeking his will, what he wants. But it's difficult to live out this priority. Would you say this morning that God is your top priority? Remember what we said on time, money, effort? What are you putting it into? The object in your world that you revolve around, what is it? Is God your top priority, and are you living like that's true? On our social media platform, Yahoo Answers, they asked the question, why are priorities important? And you go through reading a whole bunch of different things, but the top answer, top voted answer, was simply put like this. A priority is something that is important. It's important. And we say, oh, it's an important priority. This is a priority in my life. Well, is it? Because we can say that, but are we actually doing it? Are we actually placing it as a priority in our life? You see, we all have priorities in our life. There are things in our lives we treat as most important. What are yours? God, family, relationships, material things. What is it that you value more than anything else? And what are those lists and how do they stack up to where God is in your life? Take a look today. Take a look today at your life and ask, what order have I placed my priorities in my life? And then list them. List them, write them down, and put them in priority order. Do it in a way that states how you're feeling right this minute. What have you put? Not what you want yet. You have to write down what you're actually putting as a priority right now. And then, after you've put that in a priority, adjust. Adjust those priorities. You have to do this on a regular basis. We have to check ourselves in our relationship with God and what we're putting in place of him. So if we're not reading our scripture, put that as a priority. If we're not praying, if we're not doing our devotions, that's got to be number one. Place him as priority. The reason why we place it as a priority is because he placed us as a priority by dying on the cross. So we have to understand the priority here. And then we have to look outward. Okay, we have to look outward. We can't always be looking at just us. There has to be a balance of that. Checking ourselves, making sure we're in priority, but then reaching out to others, putting others first. Not always thinking about us, but thinking about others. What adjustments do you need to do today? And after you do all of that, the main question I have for you is, are you treating the most important thing with utmost importance? You have to ask yourself that question. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, help us to put a priority in our lives. Help us to put you first above everything. And all these things will come in place. But help us to realize what we're doing right now. If we haven't recognized that maybe you're not number one in our life, I just pray that Holy Spirit, that you will work in our lives and you will show us where to put those priorities. But you have to be first. We want to live like God is our King. And that means building a relationship in which God is our King. Help us to do that. Help us to show or show us how to do that. Show us with love, with grace, and at the same time, let us reach out to others and walk them through their journey as well. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that you have a great week. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.